welcome to this Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Ralph Topham with Work-Life Connections, EAP. Today I'm with Corbett Doyle. She's a lecturer of Leadership, Diversity, and Organizational Effectiveness in the Peabody College at Vanderbilt University. She was previously the Chief Diversity Officer in a Fortune 500 company. Last time, Corbett, we discussed the value of being able to work effectively with people from diverse cultures. What are some things that I might need to know so that I could become more aware of how I could more effectively interact with people from diverse cultures?
One of the things that most of us don't want to acknowledge or have never even thought about acknowledging is the fact that we all are guilty of using stereotypes. And I say guilty with quotes around the word. Stereotyping is something that is human nature. We all learn to stereotype at a very early age. It is a method for organizing incoming information. So we create classifications, and classifications are part of how we form stereotypes. The problem when it comes to diversity is that sometimes we have formed these stereotypes that we aren't aware of. And we may use those stereotypes in our decision-making processes and, as a result, not make decisions as effective as they might otherwise be.
Okay, could you share some examples with us on that?
Okay, so just an example of a stereotype that if you're a parent and you have young children, you know, you teach children where it's safe for them to be and where it's not safe for them to be. Most of us want, you know, our children in before dark if they're under a certain age. Once they reach a certain age, particularly if they're driving, there are certain neighborhoods where we may know there's a high crime rate, and we may tell our children, or we may adopt the advice ourselves, avoid that neighborhood. It's not a safe neighborhood. That's a stereotype. It's a stereotype that may save someone's life, but it's still a stereotype. So that's an example of how we all form stereotypes.
Are there some less obvious examples of some more subtle stereotyping that might get in the way of my being effective as a leader?
Well, one that's received quite a bit of notoriety, and there's been a lot of research around in the last few years, particularly by an organization called Catalyst, which is the largest research foundation focused on gender equity in the workplace, is the double bind that women find themselves in. So most of us have formed stereotypes about what a leader looks like. And when I say looks like, I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about how a leader behaves. So we may not be able to define it, but we know it when we see it. And when we pin people down, and when the researchers pin people down about the characteristics that they associated with leaders, some of the characteristics are assertiveness, an extroverted personality, an ability to convince other people to follow them. When at the same time, people were asked to identify, were given a list of traits, say which ones are male traits, which ones are female traits, the traits most often associated with leaders all fell under the male category. The traits that fell under the female category were the more nurturing traits. Communication was there, which is an important trait for a leader, but most of the traits fell under nurturing, in the nurturing category. None of those traits fell under the definition of a leader. So you have this situation based on research where we are forming stereotypes about leaders. Women don't fit that stereotype. So the problem that a woman has is that if she behaves true to her gender, she won't be viewed as a leader.
Not seen as a leader.
Not seen as a leader.
Which is a deficit if you're a politician, for instance, or you're just trying to get promoted in the university.
Well, and that's a perfect example. So here's the flip side. So if a woman acts like a leader, then she's viewed as not being true to her gender. So one of those double binds, damned if you do, damned if you don't, and Hillary Clinton's a perfect example. So when she was highly assertive and dominant, some would say even domineering, she was viewed as, by many, as unsuitable to lead this country. When she cried, her opinion rose in the polls. Yet crying is not a trait that we associate with someone we want to vote for as president. So she fell in that category of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whether you wanted to vote for her or not, she was a victim in many ways of the stereotypes.
Thank you, Corbett, for those examples. They're very helpful. Next time, you and I will be talking about discovering our own implicit biases and how we might be more alert or become more alert to learning about the biases and how we interact with others. Thanks for joining us today. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you have a question or topic you'd like to hear on the podcast. Contact us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu. Also, check us out on our website at www.healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu.